So this is just a final track, thinking about Lawrence Pickin, who you met at what stage?
Yes, that's difficult. I met him when I was trying to decide where to do my field work. I made the film of him after I'd finished my PhD in East Suffolk. So we're talking 1987. And we used to meet for lunch. Then I decided that we needed to document his life and work in the film. And because he introduced me to Mongolian music, even though he didn't know anything about Mongolian music, I then, when I was doing my field work, I reported back and discussed things with Lawrence. His perspective was very different from mine, and we used to argue a lot because at heart he was a musicologist. But in fact, you know, if you read his book on the musical instruments of Turkey, he has a lot to say about the people and the instrument makers and other details. But if you asked him directly, he would always say, of course, it's the music, you know, it is only the music. So we used to have lots of vivid debates about that. But he was very supportive of my work. And I think what he did was made me careful, you know, always to check and double check and meticulous detail. Perhaps my obsession with meticulous detail has come from Lawrence. And general inspirational, you know, encounters with him.
And was there any sense together with him of a sort of community of people working on music of non-Western cultures within Cambridge?
Well, there was. I mean, you might want to talk to Roger Blench. Have you come across Roger Blench?
I've not met him, but heard the name mentioned.
He's an Africanist.
Yeah.
And he also knew Lawrence. In fact, I think he introduced me to Lawrence. He's got a lot of recordings of African music from, you know, way back, and he was in the Department of Anthropology here. But there was an Asian music circle, and Richard Willis was involved in that, and he would know all of those people, and Roger Blench would give you his own very distinct take on the situation.
So do you think sort of the Cambridge community has made its mark particularly, or influenced again the more national scene at all, or anything particularly distinctive about the Cambridge?
I don't know whether I certainly didn't feel I was part of a community. There were individuals that I interacted with, you know. I'm sure that Richard and the Asian music circle people would feel there were a community, but I wasn't in it. It was before I started working in Asia. You know, I was working in this country. It was only after that. They were not still going. I mean, they'd all gone off to their different places in Australia, and Elizabeth Markham and those people. Yeah. I'm sure they felt they were community, and there was a conference where they all came back and they kindly included me. That was, you'd have to ask Richard about it, he knows more about it. That was to do with Lawrence and his work on the tongue music and all of that. But I wouldn't put myself in with that community.
Okay.
Even though I did have a strong relationship with Lawrence.
Yeah. And one final question, I promise we've been I just wondered if you'd maintain much contact with your sort of folk background, if you like, in terms of singing, performing and researching, since you've moved more into Central Asia and so on.
Well, I went off on my own tangent. I took my fiddle with me to Mongolia and played in round felt tents and swapped my music with them. A few years ago, the recordings, the LPs we'd made of Mr. Fox and my singer-songwriter album were reissued on CDs, and they were very favourably reviewed in the press. And it was really rather odd for me, you know, if you look at the picture of me, long hair, and I used to wear gold boots, and you know, it was a bit odd because I felt I'd done a lot in the intervening years and I wasn't sure I was the same person. I had started writing songs again, and funnily enough, they did seem familiar. They were not as different as I thought they would be. But what I've been doing over recent years, I did already talk about bringing the musicians and playing with them. I've also been writing songs that are in the English tradition. And I did, at one point, I went down to Cecil Sharp House and performed three of them. And had people come up to me saying, "Where did you get that version from?" When actually I'd written it, you know. So I've been putting my big toe back into the English traditional music scene. I know John Howson from my days in East Suffolk, and he does these one-day festival, you know, step dancing and things like that. And I've been playing music with Jeannie Harris, who is... Jeannie Harris is a melodeon player and singer. And she was in East Suffolk at the same time that I was. And we've been working out some songs together from that period. She's from an auspicious family because she's the sister of John Kirkpatrick's wife, John and Sue Kirkpatrick. John Kirkpatrick, famous melodeon player, Sue played hammer dulcimer. And John and Sue, one of their children is Benji Kirkpatrick, who is in several of the well-known groups of the moment, you know. Can't think what they're called. There's a huge band of about 8 or 9 people that tour all the time. What are they called? Anyway, music is gradually seeping back into my life on different levels. Having performed with the Inner Asian musicians, and one of them is talking about, shall we do a CD together? And, you know, music is kind of trying to creep back in and take a hold. It's always how to balance these things, really. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It's been great, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank
all the
you.
Best for the
yeah,
future.
Interesting to think back.
Great.
And forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.